He's around you everywhere. He will hear and answer you too. He'll see you through.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O King, he shall be cast into the den of lions. It is written, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. It is written, Daniel went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, even as he did aforetime.
For God is just a prayer away.
Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And even as the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. The proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, and the only proper way is down upon his knees. No, I should say the way to pray, said the Reverend Dr. Wise, standing straight with outstretched arms and rapturous upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Snow, such praying is too proud. A man should pray with his eyes fast closed and his head contritely bowed. Well, now it seems to me that his hands should be devoutly clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing toward the ground, said the Reverend Dr. Blunt. Last year, I fell in Hopkins Well, head first, said Cyrus Brown, with both heels sticking up and my head a-pointing down. And I said a prayer right then and there, best prayer I ever said. The prayingest prayer I ever prayed was standing on my head.
For God is just a prayer.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message entitled Daniel in the Lion's Den. The prophet Daniel had been given a scarlet coat and a chain of gold, and made third ruler in the kingdom when he preached a sermon that was right off the wall at the feast of Belshazzar. That very night, Darius the Mede took the kingdom and slew Belshazzar. That night they slew him on his father's throne. He died unnoticed in the hand unknown. Crownless and scepterless Belshazzar lay, a robe of purple round a form of clay. In his efforts to reorganize the country, Darius could not help but notice Daniel. Daniel had been around for many years as a captive from Israel, and he soon found out the role he had played in the former rulers, Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. And Darius made Daniel his secretary of state. Because of jealousy of Daniel, King Darius was conned into making a law that he was later sorry that he had ever made. All of his advisors persuaded him to make a law against prayer. The law that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Then to be sure there was no foul-up, they said, "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." They had a law that once a law was made, it could not be changed. This made them careful about making laws. Once made, they had to live with it. Daniel at this time was an old man, probably in his 90s, and it was at this stage of his life that he would endure his greatest trial. So these men managed to catch Daniel in the act of prayer. He had gone to his house, the window being opened, and prayed 3 times a day, looking toward Jerusalem. It is significant that he did not open the window. The window was already open. And 3 times a day he prayed through the open window. The window of prayer is always open for the people of God. The tragedy is that God may look at your prayer window, and many times he sees nobody there. It is a good prayer program and needs to be used. It is the method used by King David. In Psalms we note, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, then he shall hear my voice." It might be easy to get people to pray 3 times a day if they could open their windows and look toward Washington as they pray for a handout. Perhaps some would open their windows and pray 3 times a day if they could look toward Hollywood for the latest fashions and see what the stars are wearing or not wearing. Some, no doubt, might open their window 3 times a day and pray toward wherever denominational headquarters might be. It is better to go to the prayer window and look toward the New Jerusalem, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. It is important to leave the window open for the purpose of ventilation. Ladies and gentlemen, it must be a very stuffy lifestyle to be cooped up all the time and breathe the stale, dead air of ball games and movies, and never go to the prayer window, except to open it a tiny crack, perhaps at bedtime. No doubt some would say, but I don't do windows. Also, the open window gives a better view of life. I like a room with a view. You may not live in a very good neighborhood, but if you have an upper room where you have a view, you can look out and see the skyline of that city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You can look out and see the river of the water of life that flows by the throne of God. You can look out and see the hills of Zion that yield 1,000 sacred sweets before we reach that heavenly ground or walk the golden streets. Oh, dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. And dare to make it known. Now, think about that prayer law that was made. It is hard to imagine a nation so depraved as to make such a law against prayer. I don't know the results of an edict like that, but my guess is that it was not long after this that discipline became a major problem in the school system. They probably had a big problem in the matter of violence, and they no doubt repealed the death penalty. Of course, I wasn't there, but they probably legalized abortion and made the murder of babies a matter of individual choice, and morality was stifled by pornography on television. It is hard to imagine the turmoil that came about by this godless, idiotic, stupid law that outlawed prayer. Oh, thank God we live in a Christian land today where something like that could never, never happen. God bless America. When the king's advisors told him what Daniel had done, he knew he had been fooled, duped, and hoodwinked into making that law. The last thing he wanted to do was cast Daniel into a den of lions. And the king's hands, however, were tied. The law could not be changed. Surely there was some way out, some precedent in former trials. Perhaps he could find evidence by reading in his books of law about a former trial such as Daniel versus Belshazzar that could be used to get him out of this awkward situation. He had his team of lawyers work from morning till evening, and they came up with nothing. I heard of an unbelieving lawyer one time that was on his deathbed and was found reading the Bible. Someone asked him if he was under conviction, and he said, "No, I'm looking for loopholes." If the law of the Medes and Persians could not be changed, how much more is that true of the law of God concerning pardon? There is no loophole in the plan of salvation given on the day of Pentecost. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." There is no loophole in that statement, because the Lord told Peter, "Whatever you bind on earth, I will bind in heaven." Since there was no way out, there was only one thing to do, and Darius did it. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." The king then went home to a sleepless night, but he showed up early at the lion's den the next morning. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, been able to deliver thee from the lions?" Daniel told him, "My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me." I don't know if Daniel saw the angel that did that or not, but he knew the angel was there and shut the mouth of the lions. Angels work in our lives today, although we may never see them, because we walk by faith and not by sight. They may serve us even as they served Daniel. Because Paul said in Hebrews, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation?" It appears that there is a special angelic service for children in heaven. "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones," Jesus said, "for I say unto you that in heaven their angels you always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Certainly the angels serve the saved at time of death. And it came to pass, Jesus told, that the beggar died and was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So Daniel told the king about the little caper of the angel and how he had shut the mouth of the lion. So Daniel was delivered out of the lion's den, and his enemies were thrown in. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, ever they came to the bottom of the den. That question of Darius needs to be amplified. Hast thy God been able to deliver thee? We have our own lion's den today, even as the Apostle Paul said when he told Timothy in his second epistle, "At my first defense, no one took my part, but all forsook me. May it not be laid to their account? But the Lord stood by me, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Ladies and gentlemen, we have our lion dens today, where the circumstances of life find us. The question also comes to us, hast thy God been able to deliver thee? How about the lion's den of devilishness? After a person becomes a Christian, the devil starts in on him real good. You will be ambushed and bushwhacked at every turn in life. That is why the Apostle Paul said to walk circumspectly. Survey every step of the ground. Move with caution every day and everywhere. Hast thy God been able to deliver thee? Remember that Daniel spent one night in the den of lions, but the most dangerous time of his life was not in the den of lions, but in the court of pagan kings for over 60 years. The amazing thing is not that he survived one night in the den of lions, but how did he survive all those temptations of his life in the presence of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and then Cyrus? Sometimes a Christian may wonder how they, in a similar position as Daniel, could remain true and not cave in. However, the real danger is in the den of devilishness of everyday life. What about the den of some movies? What about the den of some videos? What about the den of the schoolroom where evolution is taught? The young people are convinced that they are animals. The den of devilishness are without number. Daniel lived most of his life in a court of corruption and political intrigue, where the environment was not conducive to living the best kind of life. If this story of Daniel in the lion's den proves anything, it proves that with the right spiritual help, a person can remain faithful wherever he is, anywhere, and anytime. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God will not let the devil spring some temptation on you that he has not already used on somebody else. And remember, there will always be a Daniel around in your case. God will not leave himself without a witness. For every person who says, "You don't know what pressure I was under. I had to go on drugs. Everybody else was doing it." There will always be somebody who will say, "I was under the same pressure, and I did not do it. God will not leave himself without a witness. For every person who falls before immorality, there will be always somebody who will say, I had the same temptations, and I did not do it. God will not leave himself without a witness. A way of escape will be provided. Paul also says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So it's a good question. Hast thou, God, been able to deliver thee from the den, the lion's den of devilishness? Then how about the lion's den of the division of God's people? The people who follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth are a divided people. Even though Jesus prayed that all who believe in him through his word might be one, the lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour has fragmented the body of Christ by many denominational names. The casual reader of the New Testament will read in the book of Acts 11 and remember that the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Some try to tell us the name Christian was given by the enemies of Christ. Since the inspired writers accept the name Christian, it is hard to believe that the devil would give the people who follow Christ the name that glorifies Christ, the name Christian. Conversely, I think we can say it was the devil who persuaded men to wear various denominational names. James referred to some who blaspheme the royal name by which we are called. The royal name is Christian. There is not anything royal about a denominational name that fragments the body of Christ. Peter, in his first epistle, tells us, If any man suffer reproach as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Ladies and gentlemen, I would be ashamed to suffer reproach for any other name but the name Christian. And so, as a preacher of the Word of God, it is my hope that many hearing this message will at least begin to say with Agrippa, when Paul preached to him in Acts 26, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian only, and only a Christian, not a hyphenated Christian. So it is a good question to all who are trapped in the lion's den of division. Hast thy God been able to deliver thee? And now one more den is most appropriate, and that is the lion's den of death. Remember that Peter likened the devil to a lion. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He would devour all in the lion's den of death. When Daniel was put into the lion's den, they made sure he could not escape. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be concerning Daniel destroyed. There were two seals placed upon the den to be sure Daniel could not escape. Then think of the den of death when Jesus was buried. So they went and made the sepulchre sure and rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Hast thy God been able to deliver thee? Daniel said, My God has sent his angel and have shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. And of Jesus, Peter said on the day of Pentecost, this Jesus did God raise up, whereof he hath given assurance unto all the nations, in that he hath raised him from the dead. 3,000 people were stricken that day with convictionitis, and asked what they must do. Peter gave them the words of deliverance when he said, repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hast thy God been able to deliver thee? 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme in the earth or main. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. 'Tis the grandest theme, tell the world again. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, the sinful soul. Look to God in faith. He will make you whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.